Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life. A program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Today on Life Quest, I'm talking with Mo Isom. She's written a book called Wreck My Life, Journeying from Broken to Bold. Let me tell you a little bit about Mo. She was an All-American goalkeeper for Louisiana State University soccer team, first female to try out for an SEC men's football team. And she's had all kinds of records. She's appeared on ESPN and Ellen and CBS and the 700 Club, and now speaks nationally and internationally about faith and has a faith-centered blog. And Mo, welcome to Life Quest.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on.
Now, Mo, often when I interview an author, I say, well, why did you write this book at this time in the world's life? I'm going to ask you this. Why did you write at this time in your life?
That is a great question. I've had several people say, you're 26 and you're writing a memoir, you know, type of memoir. It seems kind of crazy, but, you know, my life has been really a lot, condensed into 26 years, a significant amount of success and amazing highs and a significant amount of really crushing adversity. And I certainly didn't write it to say, hey, look at me, here's my story, here's a memoir at 26, but I wrote it because Scripture says that sin is defeated by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. And I think there's so much power in testimony. It doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter your season of life, it doesn't matter where you are, there's power in our testimonies. And if we have a story of grace, then we have a story of grace to share. And so this was, God just aligned several things to give me the opportunity to write, and it's worth it. I'll take any opportunity to tell anyone about how Jesus just wrecked and redefined my life.
Now, you were raised in a Christian home.
I was, yes, with wonderful Christian parents who really worked hard to instill in me what it meant to be a godly woman. But, you know, growing up in that, unfortunately for me, it just kind of became like a faith by inheritance. You know, my parents were in church and were Christians, so I just assumed I was a Christian, and, you know, showing up and doing all the right things, but really knowing all about God, not truly knowing God myself. And that kind of led into some issues when I started getting attacked by the enemy in a real and tangible way. It led into some issues of understanding what God said about me, because all I knew was going through the motions, but sort of a cultural Christianity. And when faith was then required, I didn't really know where to turn or what.
Mo, your book is very candid, and as you describe things as you look back now that seriously impacted your life. And so would you share with our audience some of those times and incidents?
Absolutely. There's a lot that went on in a short amount of time. Right. Like I said, sort of grew up with going through the motions, not really with a very full understanding of what God said about me. And that began to lead into a lot of insecurities, a lot of control issues that manifested themselves into an eating disorder that was really vicious and that I struggled with for about 4 years through high school. Eating disorder kind of crawled out of that, gave a little bit of control back to God, and experienced some amazing highs. But then after my freshman year of college, very unexpectedly and horrifically lost my dad to suicide, which then just catapulted me to take off running from God. Ran into depression, anxiety, promiscuity, I mean, you name it. I sought any sin-sized piece to fill the God-sized hole within me, and ran and really at times understood when my dad did what he did and saw it as a viable option, just really broken and hurting and in a lot of pain. And my prayer had kind of become, God, just wreck my life, just wreck it. Because I'm just kind of tired. And he answered quite literally. after my sophomore year of soccer, I lost control of my car on the interstate, flipped my Jeep 3 times, and landed upside down in a ravine at 1:30 in the morning, very physically broken. And it was in that place that God met me, that his spirit met me and just wrecked and redefined everything in my heart. Some people hear the story and they think, good grief, another piece of adversity, but it was actually that wreckage that God began to completely transform me.
That's one of the fascinating things to me about your book, is that you recognize that one of the things that makes God God is that he can take really bad things and turn them into good.
And he promises us he will. That's what is so amazing. I mean, he promises that he works all for his good. He makes two promises to us back to back in Scripture. The first being, in this world, you will face trouble. You'll face hardship and adversity. This world is fallen and broken. But he follows it up with a second promise that says, take heart, have courage. I've overcome the world. And so what that has to mean in our lives is that there will be battle after battle. The enemy will wage battle after battle in our lives. There will be adversity, hardship, storms. But at the end of the day, we serve a king, a God who has won the war. And it is already finished. It's already done. And if we can place our faith in him and make Jesus the Lord of our life, then navigating those valleys and that adversity and that hardship, well, we have suddenly a divine hope. When we do, we have more to look forward to and a strength and an equipment that is really supernatural. And it is. It's the wreckage. It's a lot of the times the places with the deepest and most painful brokenness and adversity in our lives where we can turn and see a God who's doing something greater, and we can put faith in that and pull through that hardship that he again promises us won't be more than we can bear.
Tell our listeners about the role of soccer in your life at this time or prior to this time.
Well, it was tremendous. Soccer has been kind of my anthem through my days so far. I grew up playing, and the book actually really dives into how a lot of my identity was kind of placed in the success there. A lot of my relationship issues with my dad kind of hinged around my performance athletically, but at the same time, athletically, that earned me a college scholarship. Mm-hmm. I was an All-American goalkeeper and went in and out some with the national program and, had a play on SportsCenter top 10 plays. My second game ever as a freshman, it scored a 90-yard goal. I mean, just incredible successes there. And it was through my college soccer career that, like I said, after my freshman season, boom, my dad's suicide. After my soccer season, boom, my own car accident. Mm-hmm. And amidst all that chaos and all that change and all that adversity, soccer was kind of always my constant.
Right.
And it was the one place that I could go, I could turn, and it was almost a therapeutic release that what any bits of energy I had after going through so much struggle, they were all released on that field. And so it sort of is this narrative, this soccer story that weaves through the book as well, of this one constant that, at one time was kind of owned everything and then was surrendered to God and then God used and then was sort of my outlet. And so it's amazing sometimes how sports can do that in people's lives. They play this sort of long themed role, and soccer did just that for me.
I was surprised that after your horrific car accident that you went back into athletics.
Right. Well, that was my stubborn and driven personality. There were a lot of people who, after so much hardship and adversity, kind of tried to limit what was and wasn't possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the world kind of wanted to say, oh, the eating disorder, well, you'll never fully heal from that. Oh, the suicide of your dad, well, talk about daddy issues. You know, you'll probably never be able to love fully, and there's always going to be wounds there. And then after the car accident, it was, oh, gosh, you'll probably never be able to compete at the same level athletically. And when I placed my faith in Jesus and started to learn what God said about me and his plans for my life, I just kind of had this overwhelming urge to stick it to the man. I was just like, no, I can. God says that I can. He's healed my body. All things are possible. And so continued my soccer career, continued to break records at LSU. And not only that, took the athletics a step further and realized I had this fifth year of eligibility and decided to put a lot of effort and energy towards my football endeavor with the LSU men's football team. And so,
Wait a minute. What was that all about?
What was that all about? So, I realized my senior year of soccer, every NCAA athlete actually gets 5 years of eligibility, but only four in one sport. So most, you know, move through their time in their sport and right. move on. But I realized they had this fifth year of eligibility, and God just laid on my heart heavily, I have LSU football for you. Go, and try. Put all your energy, all your efforts towards it, and watch what I'll do. And it's neat because in the book you can see, you know, initially I thought, wow, what a tremendous opportunity, kind of scary. I'm kind of hesitant. I don't know about this, but, you know, assuming if God's calling me to it, then I'll make the team and this will be incredible. And you can sort of journey through the book what those 18 months looked like and then what the answer actually ended up being at the end of that time training with the team and what God revealed through that and what he did with it. And I love that chapter. It's one of my favorite in the book. It's one of my favorite chapters of life so far, too. It was crazy and scary, and Lord, my body is so washed up. From that time, I was probably the peak of my athletic ability, but it was incredible.
Well, let's take a couple of the things that you have mentioned just now, and that is people's assumption that because of your father's death, the automobile accident, and some of the other developments or non-developments into your sports venues, that you would not cope with that. And so it's been a few years. Are you coping? How did the Lord work that out in your life?
Just incredibly, absolutely incredibly. You know, when God revealed himself to me, revealed his love, revealed his power, began to really wreck and redefine my perceptions, my insecurities, the lies I believed, the cry of my heart really became, God, continue to wreck my life. Do whatever you need to do to help me break through what is of me and look more like you. God, if that means taking things away, then take them. If that means blessing me in certain ways and opening doors, then do just that. God, I will follow you. You just continue to wreck my insecurities, my plans, my pride, the lies I've believed, wreck all of these things to draw me nearer to you. And he's continued to do that in incredible, beautiful, challenging, hard ways. And, you know, I can stand here almost five years later, and say, God, continue to wreck me, because it's been an unbelievable ride. Now he's opened doors that I travel the country and internationally, doing ministry, speaking. I have an amazing husband, a beautiful 7-month-old daughter, and getting to really live so many of my dreams, the desires of my heart at just 26. And I think so much of that is due to not life being easy after we come to know Jesus by any stretch of the imagination. There's continued to be hardship. But by having an attitude of saying yes to God, and whatever he would call and wherever he would call us, as contradictory as it seems to what we think would be what needs to happen next, we say yes to God humbly, continue to humble ourselves before the Lord, and he really does make a way and lift us up and use us for his kingdom. And that is my hope in my heart, that people would read this book. Their prayer would become, God, wreck my life so that you can use me, so that I can be effective for kingdom work and in people's lives and their eternal stories. And so he's done just that, and it's amazing. I love where I'm at, and I hope he continues to wreck and reveal even more about himself to me.
As you talk to people in various venues in this country and around the world, are you finding that there are a lot of people, the Christians, that say, well, wait a minute, whenever things bad happen, I say, Lord, why are you doing this, or why are you allowing this?
Right.
In other words, it comes as a surprise, because they have the idea that, well, you're a Christian, you're committed to the Lord, he's going to bless you, maybe the path should be made a little smoother.
And I think, I'll just be bold and come out and say it, I think that's kind of a lie that the enemy would love for us to believe. Because it's not scriptural. Nothing in scripture says, place your faith in Jesus and life will become smooth and easy.
Mm-hmm.
And I believed that for so long. It's kind of just this mentality that I think we have. And And then we wonder why, when hard things happen, we think, God, has your grace run out? Are you mad at me? Do you not see me anymore?
Sure.
You know, we sort of turn from praising God to blaming God,
right,
when our threshold for adversity is kind of hit. But if you look scripturally, I mean, look at the disciples in Acts. I mean, they proclaimed his name, and more and more and more hardship came to the point of persecution.
Right.
And I think that's something that can either be nerve-wracking or can be incredibly freeing. Because when we understand that God's in control and that he's sovereign and that this life is temporary and there's so much more to come,
mm-hmm,
we're willing to live boldly, to put ourselves, our lives, on the line, on the edge, to meet people where they're at, to share the truth of the gospel, to love others boldly. Even at times, if you want to dial back some, just to put our emotions on the edge, to be able to forgive freely people that we don't want to forgive, you know,
yeah,
to be able to share the gospel with people by living it out in our own lives when that's really hard, you know, and it doesn't have to be a big stage. Sometimes it's the one-on-one relationship that God's calling us to live really boldly in, and we're just kind of, we don't want to get uncomfortable. We really just don't want to get uncomfortable, but it's a radical prayer to say, God, make me uncomfortable, if that draws me near to you and if that helps other people come to know you too.
You were kind of on a sports stage and recognized for your accomplishments, and all of a sudden at some point in your book you say, and then I realized God called me to be a witness to everything, and that's what you're doing now through speaking to various groups. Do you ever entertain the idea that there will be another direction turn in your life?
Oh, of course. I look forward to it. I don't doubt it one bit that God could change the course or could open a different door, could close significant doors,
mm-hmm,
in an instant. And I think it's really important that we all embrace the fact that wherever we are and whatever we are doing, wherever God has us, if it's on the big stages or if it's in the small places, wherever it is, we are missionaries, because that is a mission field. And that could be our work. That could be,
mm-hmm,
a stay-at-home mom with her children. That could be someone on a bus or a train. You know, wherever you are, that could be your field, amongst your team, amongst your family. That is a mission field that God's calling you to in that season of life. And he may drastically change it. He may drastically change that. But if we can sort of move through life understanding that we are missionaries and we have the ability to be about God's business wherever and whenever, then it makes those changes much easier to roll with. You know, I feel like even lately he's changed my mission field drastically just, mm-hmm, becoming a mom. That kind of shifts everything.
Yeah, sure.
Everything, and it's a brand new journey and adventure. And at times I question, you know, what's my effectiveness here, God? I'm
right,
not able to do certain things, or my time is so much more divided. But I just rest in the fact that he's doing a good work. And if anyone's listening, I hope that they know he's doing a good work in your life too, wherever you are. And if it's a place you feel like you never expected to be, maybe that's exactly where he desires for you to be. And that's,
yeah,
why he has you there.
Let me ask you this. Do you still follow soccer?
I do. You know what? Olympics, I am all,
yes,
kinds of excited. It is so crazy to see. You can even read in the book some of the Olympians now and World Cup, you know,
right,
winners that I had the amazing opportunity to train with during my time with the national program.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Morgan, Tobin Heath, Kelly O'Hara. You just see, it's so neat to turn on the TV and see these girls that kind of, you know, grew up playing youth soccer with now,
yes,
winning the World Cup,
yes,
representing the U.S. on the Olympic stage. So I love following each of their individual careers and following the national team. I'm not so much into the European men's soccer scene that,
mm-hmm,
is so incredible. I tune more into the women here in the U.S. and the way they're representing the country. But it's fun to watch. It's fun to follow. I have big hopes for the women's team this year.
It's fun to watch it develop in this country.
It is, and it's growing. It's growing,
yeah,
incredibly.
Again, folks, the book is Wreck My Life, Journeying from Broken to Bold by Mo Isom. And I have to tell you, friends, I have read the whole book, and there's so much more than we've had time to talk about today. It's a Baker Books publication. Mo, where can our listeners get a copy of your book?
Oh, any retailer, Barnes & Noble, Lifeway, Family Christian. Also, they can jump online to Amazon, have it shipped to them. Mm-hmm. Also, on my website, moisom.com, you can find all the retailers and links there. And soon we'll be offering signed copies through my site. So anywhere, jump out to your local Barnes & Noble and grab a copy.
Mo Isom, thank you so much for being with us on LifeQuest.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to LifeQuest today. If you have questions or comments, you may send them to lifequest@lifetalk.net. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. This program comes to you from studios in the Meadowglade Church, Battleground, Washington.